As I said, just going to have quite a short thought, and then it's going to be some time for you guys just to have a bit of space to think and to talk together. Often when I go into schools, I start by saying things like, I'm not here to tell you guys what to think. I'm here to give you space to decide what you think, to ponder it. And it's the same kind of thought tonight, really, is that I'm not going to particularly tell you what to think, but just provide a bit of space to have that time, to have that kind of concentration where we might just kind of breeze through often in life. And I think that's the amazing thing about the God that we follow, is that he wants to call each of us and he wants to talk to each of us. And it's not for one person to be the only light, but for each of us to be the light where we are. And I'm sure we can all kind of agree that in the last few months there's been a seemingly more than fair share of hardships in our country and across the world. So many things seem to just keep on happening, thing after thing, where the reaction is hard to be hopeful and it's hard to be joyous and it's hard not to just question what's going on. And all these different things seem to create this weird kind of contradiction in our culture and around us and our families and our friends, of all religion is therefore bad and is causing problems, and what's God done to help it, and why is God letting these things happen, and it's all so negative and bad. But people are also crying out for hope, and they're crying out for community, and they're crying out for connection, and they're crying out for spirituality. So whilst there's almost a rejection because of the bad things that are happening, there's also an opening of people's spirits to say there's something else going on here. I'm feeling this on a level that's not just because, oh, isn't that sad? I'm feeling that there's something deeper. And maybe actually the people around us, our friends, our family, our society, aren't interested in hearing about our theology or our kind of set of rules or our values or our aim or our tagline. But actually, I think people really are interested in hearing about our hope. And so just in 1 Peter 3:14, it says, "Even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for your hope. And do this with gentleness and respect." So I think God, all through the Bible, doesn't promise us a life that's going to be easy. We don't follow a God that says, if you trust in me, you'll get everything you need and everything you want immediately, and that'll that. If you believe in me, you're going to be rich. If you read your Bible, you're going to have everything you want. He's pretty honest in that, straight up. And so when we're saying, well, what hope is this? It might be hard to kind of conjure that into your mind. What is that hope if it's not, from what most people would say is the hope, the outcome would be that actually they get the house that's really nice, or they get the job that they've always wanted, or their hope looks like people all being well in their family. And who can say that those things are all terrible things, or that shouldn't want those things, or that our friends or family who don't have any faith, you know, shouldn't expect those things in life? That's just part of our normal society, isn't it, to want those things, to desire those things. And then we're not saying, yep, if you believe in God, you're going to get all those things. We're not saying, oh, the answer is Jesus, and then you will have that house, or you will have that job, or you will just be fine, and everyone's going to be healthy, and no one's going to be hurt. And that these acts of terrorism, these disasters, these different persecutions that people are facing, God doesn't say they're all just going to disappear when you believe in us. So what is that hope? What is that hope that we're not just taught to share? This passage isn't just tell people. It's you're living a way that is so full of hope that people ask. So this isn't saying we need to have prepared at all times questions ready or answers ready to say to someone, oh, you've talked about an animal. Let me tell you how I think animals are made. It's saying that your life's going to be so full of hope that they're going to ask you what is making you react like that. And so what is that hope? So I think this morning in Lighthouse Youth, we were talking about the different characteristics of Jesus, which is one of the activities. And for me, one of the characteristics of Jesus that really stand out is that he doesn't just say things, he acts. And that for me, when I talk about what hope it is that we have, it's the hope that actually there's a God who loves us in a way that isn't just words, but is action as well. And in Romans, it's got those verses that I'm sure you all know really well, that we're more than conquerors, and I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, the present or the future, any powers, will ever separate us from the love of God. And maybe in all of these times of difficulty, that's the hope that people really need. That in so much is kind of difficult, so much is unknown, that the love of someone that is unquestionable, that is undeniable, that's the hope people are looking for. That's the hope people are seeking. That's the hope that they'll see in you and want to know more about. So Michael Frost talks about it in a way of saying that we should live questionable lives as Christians. So living in a way that people ask questions, living in a way that's different, living in a way that the reaction that we have isn't just what everyone else does. So people say, what is it about you? And so that's what it was with Jesus. People said, what is it about this man who's talking to the people no one wants to talk to, who reacts to persecution still with love? What is it about him? So yeah, I'm not going to tell you what a questionable life looks like or what the hope is for you, but hopefully give you a chance to think about that now. So I've got four different stations. They're not that aesthetically pleasing. I just brought them on pieces of paper, set up. And I want you just to spend some time thinking about this, so you can do it however works for you. If you want to, if you're not able, or if you want to just stay in the pews, they're going to come up on slides. So four different slides will come up with some different things to do or think about or discuss. And then there's four different areas. There's some pens and paper at the front as well. If you want to do this in groups or in pairs and chat about the different questions, and that's how you kind of process things, please do that. If you want to do this by yourself and have just complete reflection, it'll only be about 10-15 minutes. Then again, please do that and try and respect other people. If they're wanting to do it silently, respect them. And if people want to do it as a group, that's okay for them to be chatting next to you. So some music will just be on in the background. The questions will come up. And just to think about these things, what does it look like for us to live questionably? What does it look like for us to have hope in these situations when people are suffering or when we're suffering? And how do we react? And this, it says, how do we react with gentleness and kindness when people ask us these questions? So in such difficult times, how do we react to people with gentleness and kindness? So yeah, I think hopefully the slides will come up and some music will come on, and please just spend the next 10-15 minutes doing those different things.